Still a little high, Angela.
Oh, okay. The recording is playing and the video. Recording is playing and the audio is on. Okay? So we'll try our best right now.
No, it's still too high.
And may God bless you and be with you. Let me just put up the study wherever it may be. Here it is. There you go. We're going to blow the trumpet for the first time in our congregation. Okay. That was all right. Praise the Lord. Well, we are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabra Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And I want to say Shabbat Shalom to everyone out there. And in the future, everyone on the website. Sorry, my server is down again until Monday. This company can't seem to get their modem working correctly. So again, we'll meet them on Monday. But anyway, Lord willing, we're here. So everything will be put on. I'm going to make sure I do that. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, wash us in your blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot. We thank and praise you, Lord and God, for forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yeshua, the offering of the body of Messiah. Bless and anoint this day, this Sabbath. We pray you'll bind every devil away from us, caution us from any evil. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll be with us. Bless this day. I thank God that we could be here on the Shabbat. May God heal you and strengthen you, encourage you, increase your faith, wisdom, understanding, fear. I thank God for all the examples in the Bible of things to do and things not to do. And I just thank God that we could be here today. And may God always be with us every moment of our lives. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's very good to be here. And let me see here. Today is February 6th. I got that right, didn't I? Okay. 2016. And this February. And you can read all that yourself. I don't know why they call it the Festival of Purification. I don't know what that means. Then they say it's possible of Sabian origin, which is some false god. However, we bring it to focus God's calendar. We're in the 26th day of the 11th month Shabbat. And that's found in Zechariah 1, verse 7. I want to inform everybody that the new moon is coming. Rosh Chodesh should be Tuesday night. So, Lord willing, Tuesday night we could be in Nashville, and then we can go celebrate the new moon, Lord willing. And, of course, Wednesday is the first day of Adar. And there it is in Hebrew. And the word Adar means glorious. And you know what? Purim is coming, so we'll be reading the story of Purim and Esther, Hadassah, and that'll be coming soon. That's the victory over Haman, our enemy, of course. My ministry is a teaching ministry, and to bring up topics in the Bible that have never been discussed or mentioned in your life. You know, I was telling my wife recently, since I've been out here in Hole-in-One, I did hand out a bunch of studies, you know, of things, different things. Everyone that said they're going to get back with me, not one person ever got back with me. I mean, they all said they're going to read it and let me know what they thought, even if they disagreed. But anyway, I'm here to try to delete some of these things for you. It's amazing how you can travel far and wide and be near or in distant, and it's still the same thing. Anyway, my servant, Lord willing, will be back on, I hope, Monday night. This way you could read the subjects, you could watch them, you could hear them, you can go over the ones you missed, or the ones that maybe I spoke too fast or something. You could download them to MP3 players. One day, you'll be able to stream. There's the static IP right there. And that hasn't happened yet. We're not on POW Talk today because we're off the net. Of course, I'd always like to be invited to come somewhere to teach. You know, I was thinking about last night again, because out here I haven't done it. So I was thinking about going to the different congregations and churches and doing what we used to do, Louise, and do the Bible 101. and try to see what happens around here. You know, see if they want to learn the Hebrew roots. So this is a new venture, so you might be called upon, Sister Louise. That's why you're getting your strength back. I'm going to need someone. And, of course, my wife now is retired. She can come. We are now in Holmanwall, Tennessee, and that's 27 Maple Street, South Maple Street. And if you have any questions, you can always come and join us. You guys know we don't do the Torah portions anymore. You know why, right? Because we leave out the verses about the Messiah. So we read from we also read from the Law and the Prophets every Sabbath, of course. And these are the verses that we got. And it shows that these are just a few verses in the Gospels and letters that talk about the Sabbath. There's actually 60 verses that mention the word Sabbath. And even recently, one of the contractors that works on our house, it was a battle with him. I was trying to get him to, he said, God says to keep the commandments and the statutes and ordinances. I said, that's right. I said, I'm trying to inform you about the fourth commandment you're missing out of your own mouth. You said, God wants you to keep the commandments. And then he gets a frown on his face. I said, but you're the one who said it. I said, you're contradicting yourself. Then he said, God wants us to be clean and nothing unclean. I said, do you eat pork? He goes, yeah. I said, that's unclean. Again, you're contradicting yourself. So they say one thing, and then they contradict themselves. Try to figure that out. That's why I wish they would come into the synagogue on the Sabbath and learn a little every Sabbath. Today's topic is, and I got this in my sleep, because I didn't know what to talk about. Yeshua said, I'm the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. And I'm sure he's many other things too. But this is what I'd like to talk about today. And this is a verse even my mother enjoyed when she was alive. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He said, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So this thing, God is preparing a place for us, and he's been gone for a while, so it's probably a pretty nice place. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we're going to be with him one day, wherever he is. And that's nice to know. He says, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And that's really important. Thomas, and he's went down in history to be Doubting Thomas, right? Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Yeshua says, hold everything. I am the way. Follow me. I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come unto the Father but through me. Try it. If you had known me, he said, you should have known the Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip chimes in with the doubt. He says, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And then Yeshua said unto him, Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet you don't even know me, Philip? He that sees me, you've seen the Father. I'm the Word, his Word, in the flesh. And how say thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. It's the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me just for the very work's sake. You know I can't do these things by myself. It's the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen. And I thank God that God does answer prayers. Sister Louise is sitting here. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then the famous line that most people don't like, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, I'll pray to the Father while I'm on the earth here, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise the Lord. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Isn't that nice to know? At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, here it is again. This is so important. He that has my commandments and keeps them, those are the ones that I know that love me. That's how God knows you love him, by keeping his commandments. I tried to tell that to a guy the other day. Didn't work. Yeah. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Then Judas, this is not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that you manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Yeshua answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Amen. He that loves me not, keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine. I didn't make this up. It's the Father's which sent me. I'm just the word that he spoke. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Shalom I leave with you, peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, and let it not be afraid. You have heard I said unto you, I'll go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For at this point, because I'm on the earth and I'm going to die, my Father's greater than I. And I know, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince, the devil of this world, comes and has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And check this out. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. I keep my Father's commandments. Arise, let's go hence. Isn't that beautiful? So if we just read the Bible, you know which way to go. To the Father, through Yeshua. Yeshua said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. If you try to climb up some other way, you are a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger, you know, they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Isn't that nice? This parable spoke Yeshua unto them, but they, just like always, they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them about. They couldn't figure out what he was saying. Then Yeshua said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, how's this sound? I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. If any person enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief, the devil, comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf comes when he comes and leaves the sheep alone. Isn't that terrible? He flees. What a weasel. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's a hireling. And what do you expect? He cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I will bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's to everyone else. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Make sure you know this, that no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So, just by reading all that, we know who the shepherd is, we know who the door is, we know the way, who the way is, the truth, the life, right? Now, if you go back to Genesis, we could see that, we'll go read a different scenario here, because right from the get, or right even before the beginning of Genesis, it all started in the kingdom of heaven, where Satan didn't want to do it God's way. We all know that. But it says here in Genesis 10, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. And we're going to go to the sons of Japheth. Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yavin, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Ribhath, and Togarmah. The sons of Yavin, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodathan. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue. Try to think of that term right there. Everyone after his own tongue, right? So in other words, they have their own languages. These are the Gentiles, right? After the families and their nations. Now here's what I want you to concentrate on. The sons of Ham. We know we're not supposed to eat ham, but here it is. Sons of Ham, Cush, Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Ramallah, Sabteca, and the sons of Ramallah, Sheba, and Dedan. Now Cush begot Nimrod. This is who we were going to concentrate on. You know, he was a mighty one in the earth, he thought. He was a mighty hunter before Yehovah, wherefore it is said, even Nimrod, the mighty hunter before Jehovah. And the beginning of his kingdom, notice it says, he didn't care about God's kingdom, but the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calna in the land of Shinar. And Babel, obviously, is confusion, which is really Babylon, and you can read all about that. Out of that land went Asher and built Nineveh, the city of Rehoboth and Calah, and reasoned between Nineveh and Calah, the city. The same is a great city. So after a long, now that was chapter 10, right, of Genesis. Now I'm assuming that a lot of time passed, because back then they all had different languages, right?
And the lots of Gentiles.
Yeah. It says, and it came to pass, the whole earth was of one language. So it just finished saying that multiple languages. So I'm assuming that from 10 to 11, a lot of time expired. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and build them thoroughly and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name. It's always about the people, you know, always about themselves. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And Yehovah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And Jehovah said, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they will begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they just imagine to do. It's all in their imagination. And God says to his word, or whoever was there, let us go down there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And Jehovah scattered them abroad from the thence from upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build a city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel. Because Jehovah did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did Jehovah scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So, again, there's many languages, many people's pigments changed, and different nationalities occurred, and different things happened. So here we have, you know, Nimrod and all these people that wanted to do their own thing. Some other people and spirits did things their way, not God's way, too. Of course, we always go back to Satan. He's probably the first one. He said he's going to ascend above the heights of the clouds. He wanted to be like the Most High. But God says that's ridiculous. He's just a created being, the pompous and the pride. He says, yet you're going to be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's where you're going to end up. And that's where he was. And Yeshua says he saw Satan cast out like lightning. Yeshua was right there. Because he is the Word. These are people in the Bible that you're supposed to take note of. I'm only naming a few. Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's sons. Eli was old, and he heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. He didn't restrain them through his whole life, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Can you imagine that? And he said unto them, why do you such things? I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, it's not good report that I hear. You make Jehovah's people to transgress. Their hearts must have been wicked too. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against Jehovah, who shall entreat for him? Of course, notwithstanding, they didn't hearken unto the voice of their fathers, because he was a little late in probably correcting them. Because Jehovah would slay them. And of course, he did. If you go to Samuel, 1 Samuel 4:11, the ark of God was taken, and the two sons, Eli and Hophni, sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. So here we have people doing their own thing, thinking they're going to get away with things. People think they get away with things when God just lets sin mount up and ripen, and then he just puts the axe down when you don't want to repent. Same thing with these other sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. They just thought they were big time. They thought they were going to go, the sons of Aaron, they took of them his censer and put fire therein, that's incense, and put incense thereon. And they offered strange incense and strange fire before Yehovah, which he commanded them not. However, these are the names of the sons of Aaron, Nadab the firstborn, and Eliahu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Nadab and Abihu died before Yehovah, when they offered strange fire before Yehovah in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father. So these are, you know, these, I know these words in these chapters seem like rather quick, but I'm sure time expires, you know. But you see it always, the same results when people don't repent. How about Achan? He's another example that you're supposed to take note of. Achan, isn't that amazing? But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah. Judah is supposed to be where the kings are, right? He took of the accursed thing. And of the anger of Jehovah was kindled against the children of Israel. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned." So he knew he sinned against Jehovah, God of Israel. "Thus and thus have I done." And I'm just moving through chapters here. It's hard to follow me in your Bible. He said, "When I saw the spoils," this is what Achan is saying, "when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment," I don't know how he thought he was going to wear that.
It's not like the odd or something.
How do you think he was going to wear that in the children of Israel? And two, that would talk about sticking out. And then there was 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. He coveted them. What commandment is that? Thou shalt not covet. The tenth commandment, right? And he took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and brought them unto the valley of Achor. You might say, why? How come? Well, obviously, everyone was privy to it because they seen what he was doing, and nobody made a stand. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? Jehovah shall trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and that wasn't enough, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So Jehovah turned from his fierceness of anger, of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place is called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So there's another lesson not to covet. That's, yeah, just be happy, be content with whatever you got. Then, of course, with these other three characters, there's no mention of On, but it's always Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They rose up with 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. They actually, just three guys, or four, they just went and deceived a whole bunch more, just like Satan deceived a whole bunch of angels. Same thing, just different areas, different places, different domains. Jehovah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And he could do it too. And they, of course, Aaron and Moses, they fall on their faces and said, "Oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?" And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the congregation, and get you up from among the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." See, On, for some reason, wasn't in it after that. Maybe he chickened out and got scared. Maybe he repented real quick. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke unto the congregation, saying, "Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch not of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." That's what happens when people raise themselves up as leaders and teachers and want to run the show, and sooner or later, the axe comes down. It's only a matter of time. Good thing God's long-suffering. But that long-suffering sometimes is cut short. So they got themselves from the tabernacle of, I would run away from Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. I wouldn't be nowhere near their camp or their tent or their house. And stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that Jehovah has sent me to do all these works. I have not done these of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, and if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then Jehovah didn't send me." How's that sound? "But if Jehovah make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up and all that appertains unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, Then shall you understand that these men have provoked Yehovah, which you don't want to do, right? And it shall come to pass that as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. That's the 250 princes. The children were, they didn't die. You find that out later. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. That was a new thing. You know, I was reading in the Bible, you know, this all came to me while I was sleeping, but I couldn't think of what to say, what I was thinking. We got this one book that is our roadmap to the kingdom of heaven. Probably the most important book you'll ever have or need in your life. Because it has all these people in it. All the congregation of Israel many times have sinned. Judas, another example. Of course, we have the Pharisees and many scribes and the Sadducees as examples. These are examples. Many religious leaders, rulers, Gentile kings like Herod and everybody else. Many Gentile families, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites. All the kings of Israel were wicked. Almost all the kings of Judah were wicked. Many priests were wicked. Aaron even made a calf. What do you think of that? Many of Satan's angels that were in heaven were cast down. Even at one time, Miriam and Aaron rose up against Moses. All the tribes of Israel, many times did they transgress by not getting all the people out of the land. In the book of Judges, when you read that, they're supposed to get everyone out of there, but they let them stay there as, you know, for taxes and for different reasons. And I'm just naming a few people. I mean, this is just a couple of things where people just did not want to follow the way, God's way. He's the way. You know, it's sad to say, however, all these things, think about it, all these things, which I'm only naming a few people, happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, to admonish us. And these things were for, these things were done for examples of things not to do. You have a whole Bible full of people that did the wrong thing. Of course, there's people that did good things, but I'm saying, think about all the people that did the wrong things. You can't ever say you have any, could you ever really say you have a real excuse to do something wrong? I mean, seriously, there's every sin covered in the Bible that they did. Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, now these things were our examples to the intent that you should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and they fell in one day 23,000. I don't know. I've only seen like maybe one person dead in front of me in my life. I can't imagine 23,000. Neither let us tempt Messiah. Some of them tempted, and they were destroyed with serpents. Remember that? Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. I don't know. I'm happy for whatever God gives us to use and need and whatever. I'm just happy to be here alive, I guess. All these things happen unto them, the people in the Bible, for examples. And they are written for our admonition, for our admonishment. Do you ever think of that? Everybody you read in the Bible that did something wrong, you should take that as, wow, that's an admonishment to me that I better not do that. Because you see what happened to them, the result. It says, wherefore let anyone think that you think you stand, you better take heed lest you fall. And this is a real important verse. There's no temptation that's going to come to you that is not common to everyone. It happens to everyone. God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation, he'll also make a way to escape. that you may be able to bear it. So don't think that, well, I can't take it anymore, and then you do something goofy, or you sin, when this God's going to make a way for you to escape. If you just hang on and believe and trust in him. Isn't that nice? This is not a long study, but it's an important study, because you know, if you have to take everyone in the Bible you ever read about, the good ones and the bad ones, and maybe one day you should make your own list. All the people that did good and all the people that did bad, evil. But they're all examples, and they're all written for our admonishment. So we can never tell God we have an excuse. We have no excuse to do wrong. We have the Word. You can't ever say, well, I didn't know. I remember that some people say they didn't know it was wrong cheating on a test. Some people, they don't know it's wrong stealing.
Yeah.
They don't know it's wrong stealing. They don't know it's wrong committing adultery. They don't know it's wrong.
You have to have the sign.
Huh?
You have to have the sign.
Yeah. I have some advice that Paul gave Timothy, which I thought was good advice. He says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Those are things to follow. He says, flee youthful lusts. You know? Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow peace with everyone and holiness. Don't trick yourself. You've got to have holiness, without which no one will see the Lord if you're not holy. And John tells us, beloved, follow not that which is evil. And that's why we have all these admonishments and all these examples in the Bible, which is probably a real potent message to me, because I was thinking, wow, how could you ever make an excuse, or how could you ever do anything wrong, because everyone in the Bible did the good things and the bad things, right? He says, follow that which is good. Anyone that does good is of God. That's meaning people that keep the commandments of God, the God of Israel, and have the Messiah. He that does evil, you couldn't possibly have seen God. Think of that. All these people that say they love God, they couldn't possibly have seen God or known God. And I put to be continued. Because, and the reason why I said to be continued is because we are living the rest of this book, even though we're not in it. Centuries later, here we are, 2,000 years later, we're all doing the same thing. So I'm going to stop that. And I thank you for being here today. It's not a long study. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your admonishment, for your correction, for these examples in your scriptures, Lord and God, things to do, people to follow and people not to follow, situations to be in and situations not to be in, decisions to make and decisions not to make. Give us better discernment. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you for another Shabbat. May God bless every one of you, and may God encourage you, strengthen you. May God take away anything, any murmuring or complaining or anything that would separate us from the living God, because I know you hear us. You even hear our hearts, Father. Bless and anoint this rest of the Shabbat. Bless the food, the singing, anything we do. Let it be to the glory of the living God. And we give you the praise and thanks in Yeshua's name. And may God be with you. And may God always be with you in your whole life in Yeshua's name and after. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll have a nice rest of the Shabbat. So I'll stop that. And I'm going to stop this.